The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright. The power to create a happier, healthier life drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California, and tonight we are talking with the Potentialist, Maggie Wild, who has a phenomenal weight reduction process that's easily obtainable through hypnosis. As a matter of fact, it's so effective that I actually send my clients who are interested in weight reduction to her. Now that swimming suit season is upon us, it's time to simply release the weight using her powerful method by just listening to the MP3s about maybe 10 minutes a day. It just doesn't get more easier than this. So I want everyone to sit up and pay attention to this very important show, which will actually make your dreams come true in just a few short months. And it's just in time, too, because, get this, August 27, 2015, in just 5 short months, we're having a singles cruise. And not only that, we are having a couples cruise along with it. We have invited some of the greatest love coaches on this cruise, and we plan to have, well, one workshop with just men and another workshop for just women. And then another workshop for just couples. And then we plan to bring everybody together in another workshop in which we can fully understand how the other sex thinks about a relationship. This is so powerful that everyone is going to walk away by knowing how to attract the love, and what's even more important, how to keep that love fresh and alive every single day. We're also planning some really wonderful activities for those who are singles and who are wanting to meet someone, and this cruise might just be the place. So remember, it's August 27th. It's out of the port of Long Beach, California. It's Thursday through Sunday. It's only 3 nights, and it's going to be so much fun. Now, I'm so excited about this. We haven't even got the cruise registration page up yet. But if you're interested in going, send me an email at jules@loaradionetwork.com and we'll get you going right away, because the first is going to get the best of everything. So contact me. It's fun in the sun, on the love boat, California style. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. Also, the new issue of the Science Behind the Law of Attraction magazine is launching by April 1st. If you have not signed up to be notified when it's up and running, then please go to lawofattractionmagazine.net and sign up ASAP. If you want to receive the printed version of the magazine, please go to lawofattractionmagazine.net and sign up for that right now. Because if you wait until after April 1st, you're going to have to wait until the June issue to receive the magazine. So sign up today. It's beautiful, it's powerful, and it's featuring none other than Mr. Joe Vitale. So sit back, relax, get a cool beverage, and let's get into tonight's show with the phenomenal hypnotherapist, Maggie Wild, coming to us from Australia. We'll be right back after these words.
You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, heard by millions worldwide through 38 internet radio stations and in over 135 countries. Come join us on Facebook for your daily dose of inspiration and action that reveals the secret within you. You can find us at facebook.com/Law of Attraction Radio Network. That's facebook.com/Law of Attraction Radio Network. It's here. It's hot. And it's a must read. It's The Science Behind The Law of Attraction magazine. Every issue brings you great articles and in-depth how-tos from all your favorite Law of Attraction experts, authors, scientists, and medical professionals. Go to lawofattractionmagazine.net. That's lawofattractionmagazine.net.
Welcome back. This is Jules on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Are you ready to learn how the mind works in order for you to effectively release the weight that you've been wanting to release? Well, get ready, because this woman who hails from Australia has the answers and has a proven technique in which you can, within a few short months, reach the goals that you have always wanted to reach. Here we go. Welcome, Maggie Wild, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. It's so wonderful to have you back again.
I'm excited to be here again, Jules. It's such a wonderful opportunity to speak with you again.
It's my pleasure, and I'm so glad you're on, because we here in the U.S., we're coming up on swimsuit season, and we've got to get going in the right direction, and there's no one else in the world that can help us more than the phenomenal potentialist Maggie Wild.
That's a very sweet recommendation. Thank you.
So tell us first, how can we get the mind to fully accept the way to get our body into shape? How do we do that? What's going on with the mind in the first place?
Well, basically everything that we do, everything that we think, is simply wiring in the brain. So it's like electrical circuitry in the brain. And depending on whether we've learned healthy attitudes, beliefs, and thoughts, and eating habits, or whether we've learned inner critic thoughts such as, you know, I'm not good enough, I'm useless, I'm too fat or too this, or I don't like my body, will depend on how we approach the world, depending on the wiring that we've been programmed with early in life. And so what I do is I specialize in helping people, first of all, get clarity on the wiring that is unhelpful to them, the wiring that is keeping them what I call stuck in a fat suit, where they're doing thinking patterns, habits, behaviors, etc., that are moving them towards gaining weight rather than gaining health. And in some ways, it's even, you know, changing the old language patterns around weight loss, etc. Rather than having to lose weight now, it's more, I believe, when we change the wiring in the brain, and that's certainly the successes that I'm getting more with my clients, is when we change the thinking patterns to be about gaining health, and we take the pressure off ourselves about having to deny ourselves food, doing the blame and shame stuff with having to use willpower and not coping after we've dieted for a couple of days and giving in to old programming. Then when we let go of all that blame and shame, we actually create a space in the brain to think more positively, and therefore produce a better chemical reaction in the brain that's going to make us feel more motivated, more joyous, more able to see what we've done right rather than look at what we've always done wrong. And then when we're producing the chemical reaction in our brain that makes us feel so positive, we're more likely to move our body more. We're more likely to choose the healthier options. We're more likely to make the healthy decisions, because the wiring in the brain that has produced the chemical response is actually in a coach thinking, if you like, in a coach wiring, and therefore wiring that makes us feel chemical reactions that makes us feel positive, motivated, stimulated to do the health rather than have to lose weight.
So does some of our programming start in our youth or when we're in our developmental ages?
Look, I believe it actually starts way before that as well.
Really?
There's so much evidence to show that a fetus can actually hear sounds and energy and feel vibrations and emotion. And that's really the language of the child as it's developing in the womb, isn't it? It's the emotion, the sensations, and the thought patterns that create different feelings in the mother's body and in the tensions that are around her as the fetus is growing. So the wiring starts to develop very early in those first few weeks of gestation, when the brain stem begins to develop and the immune system develops within those first few weeks of gestation. So really we're being programmed from that very, very early stage.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't a mother who's pregnant get tired of being so heavy and wants her body back? Is that some kind of a program that we're getting in the womb that says that, wait a minute, it's not good to be fat. It's, you know, we want to get rid of it. It's bad and all that, right?
Absolutely. And in some ways, it's like every child is potentially born with the possibility of feeling uncomfortable in their body, because the mother at some point, even if it's only in those last 3 or 4 weeks, has sensations and feelings and thoughts that are, oh, I want this out of me, or oh, my body's tired, or oh, I just need to lie down, or I'm uncomfortable in my body. It doesn't feel like my own body. And I can't tell you how many people I see in clinic who have that belief system and don't really know where it's come from. They just feel uncomfortable in their own skin.
Isn't that fascinating? But it's it makes so much sense, of course. So it started in utero. So now what do we do to begin the process of rewiring?
Well, it certainly starts in utero, and then in those early few years of our lives, we're learning the programming of the external world then. How people interact with us with regards to food. We're learning whether, I call it the grandma cookie cuddle, where, you know, if a child falls over at the age of 1 or 2 and they scrape their knee and they've never experienced the trauma of bleeding and they've got a bleeding knee, and mum and dad might be at work for the day, and so they just want a big cuddle from mum and dad, but they're not there, so they're crying and upset. And to the child, that's the worst trauma that's happened to them. And so grandma might be babysitting them, or there's a babysitter on board, and they pick the child up and give them a cookie and a cuddle. And the brain instantly latches onto the sugar that the cookie then, the sugar that is in the cookie that then moves through into the brain itself. And so the stimulus of the sugar is creating a heightened emotional state as well. And it's latching onto that emotion of fear and the pain and the dread and the fear that it's not going to get any better. So even though we know that it's the grandma's cuddle that's made us feel better, we can see that logically as an adult, but as a child, as a baby, the brain assumes it's the sugar. And so from that point on, we continue to learn that food helps us feel better. We learn the emotional eating patterns and the patterns that cause us to continue to develop weight, continue to cause the stress on the body, which then produces the growth in the fat cells. We don't actually get any more fat cells. Our fat cells can actually increase in size by up to 10 times. So we continue to develop excess fat in the areas of the body that we are more prone to develop it.
Wow.
So as far as changing that process, it's about understanding, for starters, that it's all just wiring. Every thought that we have, every inner critic statement that we make to ourselves, every emotion that we experience at some point at its base level comes down to the fact that it's an electrical circuit firing in the brain. And it's usually a group of electrical circuits. So it's a neural connection, okay, of hundreds of thousands of wires, trillions of wires that are firing together, causing you to have a craving for bread when we feel sad, or a craving for chocolate when we feel lonely, or a craving for an extra glass of wine after a stressful day at work. Whatever those cravings are, they're actually, and in its simplest basis form, wiring in the brain, stimulating a thought response and an emotion, an urge. So if we can learn to detach from the cravings and be curious about them, I call it being a bit of an emotional eating detective and a gaining health detective, where we look at the habits, the thoughts, the behaviors that are stimulating us to want fat suit type behaviors and foods, then if we can just step back from that and be a little bit curious, be in our presence, be in our soul self and be the observer of that wiring firing in the brain, then we can learn some very, very simple strategies to switch off the wiring and change the blueprint, change the actual blueprint that was originally created to, you know, force us to gain weight. And then when we try and lose it, because we're using old patterns of denial and shame, we just stimulate the old pattern again and we end up gaining it back, if not a little more.
Wow. Fascinating. You know, Dr. Bruce Lipton said last week on my show that a child between the age of 0 and 7 years old are actually learning through hypnosis. They're like a video recorder, just taking notes and action, and everything that they're seeing goes directly into their mind to program them for the future. So this goes along hand in hand with what you're saying. But you're also saying that we have to stop at a place when we decide something's not working for us, especially with our weight, and reevaluate every step of how we are doing, because truthfully, we don't really recognize that we're doing anything because it's so programmed in our mind.
And the issue with that and the challenge to overcome it is that most of us believe we get to a point where we've been like that for as long as we can remember. We assume it's who we are.
Yeah.
So we are the kind of people who overeats. We are the kind of people who reaches for chocolate or candy bars or excess sugar or wine or beer or whatever it is when we're feeling emotionally stressed or drained. And we believe we are the kind of person who doesn't like exercise or can't sustain exercise. But in fact, that's all just learned wiring, as Dr. Lipton has said, within those first 7 years where we're learning to work out how the world works for us. And our brain doesn't judge in those first few years. It just accumulates information and makes its decisions based on how you perceived that experience, whether it was helpful to you or unhelpful, whether it caused pain or whether it caused comfort, whether it caused joy or sadness, or whether it made you feel loved or unloved. And so the brain just assumes either fear or love. And if it's love, it assumes that that is our savior point from there on in. So if we felt that grandma's cookie gave us the love that we needed at the time, our brain assumes for us in a protective mode. It only ever does what it can to help us survive. And it believes from that point forward that every time you were in a distress state, you need sugar of some sort or chocolate or wine or whatever you eventually develop it into later on in life. So exactly what he's saying, except that at some point you have to decide, do I want to just be this wiring for the rest of my life? Do I want to live according to the programs that other people have taught me? Or am I going to at some point decide which ones are working and which ones aren't? Mm-hmm. And then switch off the ones that are not working and choose to rewire our brain with the new wiring, the new program, the new default pattern that moves us towards health rather than away from it again.
You see, with me, on a personal level, I've had so many diets in my life, and they were all successful for a period of time. And then I go back and I gain weight again. And I think this is the majority of people. We've dieted. Now, how can we get to the place where we're just going to naturally choose another way that's going to stay with us? Is it possible to find something that will last forever?
Yes, it is possible. It takes time and it takes certain strategies to approach three different levels of the brain in order to rewire both the emotional brain, the brain that I call the drug dealer, where it's dispensing chemicals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Dr. Carolyn Leaf calls that the pharmacist area of the brain. So it's the limbic system that's dispensing the chemicals to provide the mood, the motivation, the depression, the sadness, the joy, the urges. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You also need to program what we call the cortex of the brain. So if you are holding the brain in the outside of your in your hands, the outside, the surface of the brain, is where our conscious thinking patterns are. So if our inner critic thinking that it has been the one in control, it's been in the driving seat of the car. And so the inner critic is the one that's constantly telling you, you'll never get this, you'll never keep the weight off. See, you've lost it before, there's more evidence, you're going to gain it back on.
Right.
And so until we interrupt that part of the brain to stop that old programming, we can't actually retrain that part of the brain with different programming. So certainly it's about having strategies to switch the unhelpful thinking patterns and behaviors off first, the cravings, in order to create the brain space to make a different decision. But the third part of the brain, until you can get permanent change, you actually need to program the part of the brain that I call the cerebellum. And if you put your hand on the base of the skull at the nape of the neck there, that's really where the cerebellum is. It's that oldest part of the brain, the reptilian brain. And it's where our subconscious instincts and programming come from. And it's the part of us, that part of our brain that keeps us alive. It keeps us breathing when we're asleep. It heals our body if we cut ourselves, and you know, we don't have to sit there and think to our hand if we've cut our hand, you know, heal hand. We can actually just sleep for a couple of days. We wake up in the morning, and if it wasn't a severe cut, the actual wound is healed because our body is always moving towards health. So it's the part of the brain that's helping us survive. Its instinct is to keep us alive. It's also the part of the brain that controls our default programs that we learn in those years leading up to being an adult. And so when we're developing that programming that says sugar makes me feel better because it helped me survive that time when I fell over and hurt my knee, then it assumes that the survival mechanism for when you feel low, when you feel depressed, angry, hurt, fearful, the survival mechanism is sugar. So the more you try and resist and use the old wiring of resistance, as in dieting, the more the brain gets into the stress state and believes you're stressed, therefore you need more sugar. So all of a sudden the cravings get worse and we end up wanting more. Eventually willpower can't withstand it for long enough and we end up wanting more and gaining weight faster. So in order to program the brain for permanent change, we need to actually create a new default program that says, I am the kind of person who is slim and healthy. I am the kind of person who chooses healthy options and smaller portions. I am the kind of person who loves my body. I am the kind of person who enjoys moving my body. I drink water. I enjoy life. And I'm learning to love myself. And when that happens, the new default mechanism is when I fall over and hurt my knee or when I feel rejected, I breathe deeply, or I take a glass of water, or I nurture myself because emotional needs require an emotional response. So I give myself an internal hug, or I ring a friend and I download to them and let them support me and encourage me, rather than using food to make us feel supported. Because the food then just triggers later on, I feel worse and I can't believe I did that to myself, and more blame, shame, and guilt, which is the stress response to the body. And again, when we've got the stress response, what happens? The default program says, we need sugar. And so we're in that vicious cycle. And until we stop and change the default program, nothing changes. To do that, we need a minimum, what some of the latest science is showing, we need a minimum of 84 days of conscious choices, different strategies to work on changing those three areas of the brain, the cortex, the limbic system, the drug dealer part of the brain, and the cerebellum, the reptilian brain. When we're using specific strategies, I call them a CPR strategy. So it's controlling the unhelpful thinking and cravings in the cortex part of the brain. It's programming the pharmacist area of the brain, the drug dealer area of the brain, with a better chemical response so we feel better and are able to make better decisions. And then rewiring the cerebellum, which is that reptilian part of the brain, with the new default wiring that says, I am this healthy person and I have healthy ways to deal with stress.
And this has been proven to be successful, because you've had tremendous success with this.
Phenomenal success. We've treated thousands of clients around the world over these last couple of years, and the results are astounding. We've got a lot of clients who are in that morbidly obese category, really? Who over a period of time have lost over half their body weight. And you know, one lady in particular, and this is one out of quite a few, where you know, she gained and lost over 120 pounds, 130 pounds, three or four times throughout her life. And you could imagine how devastating that would be to lose 120 pounds and then within months put it back on even faster each time and even more. So at her worst, I She was 100. I've got to work that out in kilos. It was in pounds. In kilograms in Australia, it was 156 kilograms. So that's over 312. It's over about 369 pounds.
Wow. Okay?
And when she lost the weight throughout the course of years before coming to see me, she would do it through dieting, through denial. She even at one point was desperate. She signed herself into a psychiatric hospital. She had multiple different addictions associated with food and other things. And she signed herself into a psychiatric hospital in order to just desperate that could fix it. And she did. She lost 115, 120 pounds during that time. But within 3 months of coming out of the hospital, she gained 150 pounds.
Because she didn't program her mind correctly.
No, they used denial. They just fed her a 400 calorie a day diet.
Oh.
And at one point had her hands tied so that she wouldn't steal food from the other patients in the hospital.
Oh my goodness.
So there was no brain training done at all. There was no brain wiring done at all. It was just done on the denial factor. And when your body's in that stress response, and we know what the default program is, don't we? We know the default program is I need food when I'm stressed. Then all that's doing is exacerbating and strengthening the proteins that are developing on the neural pathways that create the belief system that food makes me feel better. So it just makes it even worse. That's why diets do not work, because the denial process causes stress to the body and the brain, and therefore the brain is developing more protein on the existing default program that says food makes me feel better and I need food to help me stop feeling stressed. And so that neural pathway set is becoming more deeply entrenched, like a highway, yeah? And what we want to do is create a new neural network that says, I am the kind of person who is slim and healthy. I am the kind of person who chooses healthy food. Therefore, I switch off that old wiring. I continue to use this new wiring until I steal the proteins from the old wiring. So eventually the old wiring becomes defunct.
So the purpose is not to stop eating or to torture a person to quit eating, like wiring their mouth shut, which I've heard many people do.
I spoke to a client this morning who did that.
Mm. That's just like, why are people allowing themselves? They're so desperate that they have to be tortured, literally tortured and humiliated just to get to the right size so that they'll be acceptable. But the truth is, with your program, you allow eating.
It's the joyous part of eating. We train the brain to learn how to chew slowly, to savor every mouthful of food, to make the healthier choices because you want them, not because you have to. And when you make the choice because you want it, there's no stress in the brain, there's no stress in the body, so the digestive system is functioning. When we are stressed, all of the energy that normally goes to digestion is diverted to the limbs and to pump blood around the body in order to run away from the saber-toothed tiger. But unfortunately, in this state of stress, the saber-toothed tiger is inside our body, it's not outside of us. So we don't actually need the energy in our limbs. We actually need to process the food that we're currently eating. But if we're in the stress state and we're feeling guilty, blame, shame, guilt, frustration because we can't stop, then that again is just exacerbating the stress response and more energy diverts away from digestion. We can't even process what we are eating. So everything that we eat ends up, we can't absorb the nutrients, our metabolism slows down, and we can't actually eliminate the excess anymore. It gets stored as fat. So what we want to do is always eat in a relaxed state, chewing slowly, chewing mindfully, gaining the experience of all of the flavors, gaining the textures of all of the foods, the smells, the entire experience, being present with the food. And when that occurs and we move our jaw enough times in the chewing process, we produce hormones in the brain. In a relaxed state, we produce hormones in the brain that switch off greedy appetite and that activate emotional satisfaction.
Wow.
So by learning the wiring, that means we automatically begin to become the kind of people that chew slowly, that eat mindfully, that return to the dinner table and have an experience of food with the family rather than shoveling it in front of the computer or in front of the television or while we're driving the car and picking up the kids, then it becomes an experience again and the brain can relax, the body can relax, the food can be absorbed as nutrition, and we can eliminate the excess.
Wow. That sounds so perfect.
Excess fat begins to melt away in that space. We don't actually diet anymore. We don't have to lose weight anymore. By doing these processes and retraining the brain in the type of methods I'm talking about, using a control, a program, and a rewire method, you actually lose weight by default. It just actually melts away. You don't have to think about it. You just wake up one day, you feel a bit better. All of a sudden, your clothes are fitting better. All of a sudden, you've lost a dress size or a trouser size, a pant size, and it just happens. It's not something you have to work at anymore.
That sounds so wonderful. And if the mother or the caregiver in the family can lose that weight, they are effectively influencing the children and everyone else around them. Yes. To behave in a different way. It's like learning. And if it just takes 84 days for one person to understand that, then it's the same 84 days with the people who are around them.
Yes. And it starts to happen before that. It happens within the first, well, within the first 40 to 50 minutes of using these kinds of strategies, you're thinking differently anyway. But within 3 or 4 days, there's a Dr. Carolyn Leaf who does some wonderful brain research. I think she's got a television program there in the States on brain rewiring and what's happening in the brain. Mm. And she talks about the fact that, you know, the evidence is there when she does scans on the brain of giving her patients certain strategies to do in repairing after, say, a brain trauma to the brain where there's been an accident and there's a part of the brain that's been damaged. She will give the person certain strategies to do to help rewire other parts of the brain. And within 3 or 4 days, the changes are happening. The proteins are starting to develop on the new neural pathways. Within 21 days, you've got enough proteins on those neural pathways for you to feel confident that the change has happened. However, the old science used to say that 21 days changes a habit. That's only part of it. What that does and what the latest science is showing more and more evidence of is that it creates the proteins on the neural pathway for the change to feel great, to feel permanent, and for you to feel in control. But the old neural pathways, the old neural networks still have enough proteins on them and they're just sitting dormant. They've not been used for 21 days. And as soon as you've got a stressful day or a trigger that you can't quite handle and willpower doesn't cut it anymore, then those old neural pathways jump back in because the default program is sugar makes me feel better. So until we've actually used those new neural networks for a minimum of three to four cycles. I actually believe it's four. I've tried three, especially for long-term dieters, and three has a tendency to trigger back sometimes. Four cycles of 21 days, which is really 3 months. Yeah. It's 84 days, 3 months of repetitive use of the new neural pathways. Then the new neural pathways after 21 days begin to steal the proteins, or I think it's Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about them as the glue. Mm-hmm. It begins to steal the glue from the old default wiring.
Wow.
And eventually the new wiring is the strongest wiring.
So what's the average amount of weight a person can melt off during that 3 month period?
I believe the slower the better. Because
the slower the better.
Yes, because the body and the brain need to align. If the brain is changing slower than the body, so the body's losing weight far faster, then the brain wiring hasn't caught up. So the brain still has an image of you being overweight. So if the brain doesn't know the difference between real and imagined, which we now have evidence that it doesn't. You can think of a pink elephant and the brain assumes there's a pink elephant sitting in the room in front of you. If you think about a chocolate bar or a candy bar and you imagine the textures and the flavors and your mouth begins to water, the brain assumes the candy bar is being eaten right now. So it doesn't understand the difference between real and imagined. So in that case, if your brain has an image of you at whether it's 10 pounds overweight, 50 pounds overweight, or 200 pounds overweight, if the brain's image is of you overweight, until that brain image has changed to you being slim and healthy, then the brain is always trying to fight you towards going back to the default mechanism. So if you lose weight too quickly and the brain hasn't updated quickly enough, it's fighting the slim and healthy. To the brain, the slim and healthy is a danger.
Wow.
So it's another stress response.
Right.
So it's this internal battle, desperate for you to get back to where you were. And you hate going back there. You hate the fact that you're still craving. You hate the fact that you're thinking about food more and more, or distressing over the fact that you're blaming yourself, you ate a bit too much yesterday. But the brain is trying to desperately get you back to the safety zone, and the safety zone is the fat suit safety that it has the image of. So the slower you lose the weight, the more likely the brain's new image of you is updated. And when that new blueprint is existing that says, I am slim, I am fit, I'm healthy, I now fit into this wonderful bathing costume, these are the size clothing I wear, I love my body, I feel fit, I feel active, I've got energy. When that happens, the brain is always trying to fight you to get you there rather than back to the old fat suit. So it's determined to keep you slim. So about a pound to 2 pounds a week at the most is a safe level that you can sustain weight loss. Obviously, in the first few weeks, people usually lose a little bit more. And with, you know, we've seen a lot of reality television where people are being trained that you've got to do these big numbers every week. Right. And that unfortunately is giving great expectations and leading to disappointment, because when the body can't sustain that sort of loss, and can't keep it off because the brain hasn't changed, then we always gain it back. So approximately a pound to 2 pounds a week is a healthy weight loss that your brain can sustain and change along the way.
And that's without dieting. That's just by eating the very, very real foods, the nutritious yes. foods that your body yes. is really wanting. So
absolutely.
How that is so perfect that you can lose food and you don't have to feel the sacrifice of dieting.
Yes. And part of the programming is about retraining your brain and body to make better decisions about food as well. So because you want it, not because you have to. So we teach people how to reconnect with their body again. Because really the body is an expression of the subconscious mind, isn't it? Mm-hmm. If the subconscious mind has taught the body to store all of the emotions, the fears, the sadnesses, the griefs, and then we're storing fat around that to protect the body from aging, then the body is an expression of every subconscious belief you've ever had about yourself. So when you begin to change your subconscious beliefs about yourself, and the body begins to melt excess fat away, and the toxins that have been stored in the body because of that, then you begin to feel better, you begin to have more energy, you begin to like yourself more. And when you begin to listen to your body more, your body can tell you how it's going to feel after eating that food. So one of the things I ask my clients to do is to recognize that they have two parts of their mind. They have the inner critic mind and they have the inner coach mind. Most people's inner critic mind has control for the majority of the day, whereas that's just thoughts in the cortex of the brain, and it is just wiring that can be switched off just as easily as a craving can. Same as a mood. A mood can be switched off just as easily as a craving can. So when you recognize that you're in a state that is out of alignment with the inner coach state, with the soul state of who you are, then it's about recognizing that, pausing, stopping, switching off the cortex wiring that's creating it, mm-hmm. and then tuning in, consulting our body and asking our body, how is my body going to feel a half an hour after eating this food? If the digestive system will be challenged to digest that food, your body will feel heavy, it will feel lethargic, it will feel uncomfortable. And you know then that the digestive system will be in a stress state and you will not be able to absorb the nutrients from that food. Now, it could actually be a healthy food, but it might be a food that you have an allergy to. So the more we tune in and listen to our body more with regards to food and food choices, the more we're able to actually eat food and choose food that we can readily digest. So some days we could ask our body about a piece of bread and it will feel heavy and lethargic and it might not be able to cope with it at all. And so therefore it's going to send a message to the brain that switches off the craving for bread because we've listened to our body first. If we'd listened to our head would have gone, or our eyes would have gone, yes, please, I'll have two slices. Give me some butter on it, please. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when we listen to our body says, oh, golly, that's not going to feel comfortable. So the chemicals that are released from the pharmacist area of the brain are chemicals that make us feel uninterested in that food. The cravings dissolve. If on another day we ask our body about that bread and the body says, well, you know what, it's not the best thing, but it's not too bad, I can digest it today, then at least we know we can have a little bit and that our body is in the digestive state. So we would absorb whatever nutrients are in it and eliminate the rest really quickly. Whereas if we ate it when we were in the heavy state, then the digestive system isn't functioning. And we're never going to eliminate that. It's going to be stored as fat.
So when you ask the body, are you doing like muscle testing or are you just doing inner guidance system or what
inner
exactly?
Guidance system, the body actually speaks to you. The more you listen, and it's a practiced skill and it's just wiring in the brain again. We've been tuned to disconnect from our body and we don't have the wiring for it. Some people don't even know what they feel. Yeah, right. Because they've been trained not to feel emotions. They've been trained that emotions are not useful.
Right.
And so it's just practice. It takes within about 48 hours of consciously focusing on how the body communicates to us. We can actually begin to hear, sense the sensations of heaviness, of lightness, of lethargy, whether the body actually speaks in words. It depends on the way we process. Some people are very visual. Some people are very auditory. Some people are kinesthetic. Some people are all of those things. But the body will either speak in a feeling, heaviness or lightness.
And you show people how to recognize this.
Yes, absolutely. And it's simple. I mean, if you close your eyes now and you ask your body, actually, I want you to make these statements to yourself. I want you to say, I have to lose weight, and just close your body and just think about what sensations the body has experienced when you say to yourself, I have to lose weight. What happens in your body?
Yucky feelings.
Yeah. Now I want you to close your eyes and I want you to state, I choose to gain health. What happens in your body?
I choose to gain health. Freedom. It feels freedom. Yeah.
So everyone that's out there saying, I have to lose weight and I have to eat the salad, if the body is feeling that lethargy about that, that heaviness about that, the digestive system is not functioning. Whatever we eat, even if we eat a green salad and a light portion of chicken, the body won't be able to digest it fully because it's in that heavy stress state.
Wow.
If we were to simply say, I choose to gain health and I choose the healthy chicken and salad, the body goes, lift. You can feel the lightness that appears. For some people, it's a lightness in the gut. For other people, it's in the chest. For other people, the head feels clear all of a sudden. The shifts happen automatically. And the more we begin to trust and listen to our body wants us to be healthy. And it's done everything in its ability over the course of our life to try and move us towards health and deal with the toxins that we've been giving it.
And so it's really about empowering the person.
Yes.
And they don't even know it, but I choose. That is a very empowering statement.
If you can learn just two things from today, and those two things are the two words I choose, and you do that with everything from now on, I choose to gain health. I choose to have the salad. I choose to push the excess food away. I choose to move my body. I choose to go for a walk. All of those things, I choose to drink water. I choose to push the soda away.
Mm.
I choose to have only one biscuit. Yeah. One cookie. When we do the choice from the space of our brain and body, the body is in a light state, you're more likely to be motivated to do it, and you're more likely to disconnect the neural connections that are causing the old cravings. You take away the power, you stop feeding them, and you start feeding the new neural connections of choice.
Now, can I ask one thing? What happens when people are on, say, antidepressants or on alcohol or on something else? Does that affect the way that you can actually reprogram your mind?
No, not at all. Anyone can do it, and it's a matter of choice. And again, it comes back to I choose, isn't it? If you, no matter what medication you're on, no matter whether there's disease involved, whether there's anything else involved, it's what do you choose? What is your reason for wanting the change?
Okay.
And it's a matter of, obviously, I recommend if you are on any medication at all, that you consult with your medical practitioner along the way, because obviously as you do lose weight, as you do begin to slim down and trim down and you get healthier and you've got different neurochemicals being released into the brain, then you may need to monitor those medications to see whether you're now taking too much, or, you know, if you're a diabetic or those sorts of things. You need to monitor your blood sugar levels, obviously, because as your body gets healthier and you're producing better neurochemicals in the brain, you begin to feel better yourself. And so you would need to be in consultation with your medical practitioners in order to determine the dosage, etc.
Wow, this is great. So your program is really based on listening to a few minutes of MP3s every day.
Yes, there's a couple of different strategies. The C strategies range from sort of 2 to 5 minutes, and they're both in video form on YouTube as well as MP3s. Then the P strategies for the pharmacist area of the brain for the better chemical release, they're around 20 to 25 minutes, and they're usually recommended doing as you drift off to sleep at the nighttime. So it doesn't interfere with the rest of your day, or you don't have to find extra time for it. With the C strategies as well, there are little 68-second strategies that you can do without audio. So we teach you how to utilize time during the day that you're doing other things normally anyway. So when you visit the bathroom, or when you are in front of the mirror getting ready for work in the morning, or taking your makeup off at the nighttime before you go to bed, we just teach you little 68-second strategies, which are control and rewire strategies that you can do in times during the day where you're doing other things. So you fit it into your life. And then the rewire audios, the main way that that part of the brain learns is through repetition and rhythm. So it's like the affirmation process to a hypnotic heartbeat. And they range between 3 and about 10 minutes long, a variety of different audios and different MP3s that you can listen to, as well as there's videos on the online course that we have. There's videos that people watch on the program as well.
So it's really very simple.
Yes.
It's very simple to lose the weight without sacrificing, without punishment, without torture. And it's a whole new way of thinking and survival. It really is. It's incredible.
Well, it's a normal, healthy relationship with food and our body. That's what I aim to achieve for anyone that wants that. That's my wish for them, that they develop a normal, healthy relationship with food and their body. And when that occurs, we don't want to harm our body with excess food anymore. We don't want to treat our body like a trash can. We don't want to pour excess food into our body anymore. We want it to be healthy. We want it to be the best version of ourselves that we can be.
Wow, this is absolutely brilliant. What made you get involved in this? What made, because I know you did an extensive amount of research just to come up with this formula, which is so successful, but what started you on the path of it?
I was, I struggled with my weight in my childhood and teens, and I was a very depressed and angry teen. I had quite a traumatic upbringing and spent the majority of my teens depressed and quite suicidal. and a big emotional eater. I was addicted to sugar and secret eating. I used to eat, you know, take food as a young girl, take food to the bedroom, or if we got spending money, pocket money as a child, then I'd be saving it up to buy excess candies and sweets and things on my way home from school. And I was very angry and resentful as a teenager. And in my 20s, at 21, I was diagnosed with multiple autoimmune diseases. Mm-hmm. And if anyone knows anything about autoimmune disease, such as lupus or diabetes or rheumatoid arthritis, Hashimoto's disease, thyroiditis, all of those sorts of things, it's the immune system turning against the body. Oh. So if you think about my thinking patterns and you think about the law of attraction, my thoughts for my teens, my childhood and my teens and into my early 20s were, I hate myself, I hate my body, I'm useless, I'm hopeless, I'm a bad person, I'll never get this right, I hate the fact that I overeat but I can't avoid it. So that all of that thinking had manifested itself in my body as my body turning against itself. So I had, over the course of the next 10 years, the depression worsened. I just kept praying that each decade it would get better and I wouldn't end up either killing myself or just giving up completely. And I knew that there was a part of me that was desperate to be slim and healthy. There was a part of me, not, it wasn't just about my weight, it was a part of me that knew I was capable of much more, but I just couldn't seem to sustain it. I was the sabotage queen, and I was very good at what I did. I was always very successful, but in the back of my mind, I was always depressed and angry and not deserving of it. And I would find a way. I'd get a promotion at work or get an increase in salary that was offered to me out of the blue, and within a month, I'll have left the job. So because I wouldn't have felt worthy of that, I would find a way to sabotage it. And at one point, I went to the United Kingdom. I was living there for about 12 years, and I decided to learn psychology, thinking that that would give me the solutions to work out what was wrong with myself. I didn't want to be a therapist. I wanted to work out why I'd spent, you know, 30 years of my life depressed, and I was 29 at that point. And after 3 years of studying psychology, I just didn't have any solutions. And I went to a conference in my third year where there was a demonstration of a hypnotist. And he demonstrated on two of my study buddies who I'd been studying with over the last couple of years. And I knew one of them was a very, very addicted smoker, and the other was very depressed and quite emotional. And he did a smoking program on her, and she stopped that weekend and still hasn't smoked to this day. And he did a session with the emotional lady and then offered to treat her for 6 sessions afterwards in the months after the program. And I just sat back curiously and watched what was happening, and I became very fascinated by hypnosis. I noticed immense changes in her. And I made an appointment with him, and he introduced me to a book on hypnosis, and I began studying that book and became ravenously hungry for more of it. Mm-hmm. And I diverted all of my studies at that point to studying the mind and hypnosis. And I began to feel a little bit better, but the disease was still in the body. And by the time I reached 39, I actually had a stroke. The disease became quite manifest. I had a stroke and grand mal seizures and died twice on the table that day.
You died twice. Wow.
And when I had the stroke, it was quite severe, and they did an MRI, and I was allergic to the dye, and I had a grand mal seizure from the dye, and that's when my heart stopped and I died, and they resuscitated me. And I was in a coma for the next couple of weeks. I don't remember. It's all a bit of a blur, that time of my life. But I was in a coma for a couple of weeks after that, and my family were called in and said that, you know, if I did survive, it'd be lucky if I walked or talked again. As you can tell, I haven't quite shut up since.
Thank goodness.
And when I finally got out of hospital a couple of months later, and I had a lot of repair work to do, I couldn't digest food. I was on a liquid diet, and anything high in enzymes, such as even a mango or strawberries, I would have a little seizure with, because the body couldn't cope with the intensity of it. And a beautiful friend took me in, and she was a nutritionist, and she knew I was already a hypnotherapist at the time. I'd been working with clients. I'd had a lot of success. And she knew that if I could just have some time to repair my body, I could maybe actually begin to put my body back together. So she promised to take me in and feed me until I could, you know, look after myself again food-wise, and gave me every moment of the day for the next couple of months to begin working on my mind and my body and get my strength and get the left side of my body back, which I did do. And there have been other complications through the process. I ended up with kidney failure and a couple of other things. But at one point, my kidneys were at stage four, which is one stage away from permanent dialysis or a transplant. And my kidneys are now normal.
Wow.
And the where the damage in the brain is after the stroke, by rights, it's over the occipital lobe. By rights, I shouldn't be able to see. But my brain has been able to learn how to overcome and train itself through the different techniques that I developed over the course of the next couple of years. I researched neuroplasticity. I researched epigenetics. I researched the immune system. I just wanted to understand what I was doing in clinic, why it was working with clients, and how I could possibly refine what I was doing and understand the principles of it. And if I could understand what hypnosis was actually doing in the brain, what types of hypnosis worked on different parts of the brain, then I could have a chance of actually repairing and this time putting myself back together as a whole person rather than as the half person that had lived for the first 40 years of my life. And I've spent the last 9 years doing that, and it's just been the most amazing experience. And in doing so, my kidneys are now normal. My health is normal. I'm very sensible. I work in conjunction with the brain specialist and the kidney specialist that I work alongside with me. And I have regular MRIs to check the damage in the brain. I am now epileptic because of the damage that was in the brain, but the seizures now are under control. I haven't had a seizure now for 3.5-4 years. Yes, it's been an amazing journey. And through that process, it was about learning what I was doing in clinic and how to refine it with the latest science, because the latest science, it's moving in leaps and bounds. Every day we're finding out more and more about how the brain works. And I just have this passion to find out more. And when I discovered what was actually working and how to refine it and make it better, I healed even faster than before. And the changes we've had with clients in clinic since has just been phenomenal.
And now I totally understand why you did not transition to the other side. You had a job here because so many people are desperate and in pain and so sorrowful about what they're going through that you are the conduit to help people bring their desires to them, bring help to them. And that's why, Maggie Wilde, you are such a tremendous blessing to us all.
Thank you, Jules. I feel blessed to be here. I feel blessed that I chose to surrender to live. In some ways, just before I had the stroke, and it was like I was having a complete rebirth. I was in hospital. I was, you know, on a bag of blood, then a bag of cortisol, then a bag of antibiotics, then a bag. I was very sick at the time. I'd lost all my hair. It was quite a dark, dark time in my life, and I didn't really care anymore about living. And I remember saying to a friend who'd rung me that night in the hospital bed the night before the stroke, I'm tired. I'm just really tired of fighting to live. It's like I've been fighting my entire life to stay alive, and I just don't want to fight anymore. And she said, well, why don't you surrender to live and see what happens? If you're meant to be here, you'll survive. And I'd never contemplated that concept before. And that's I did right. That night. I said a prayer, and I just said, okay, if I'm meant to live here, if I'm meant to live in the other realm, then that's where I'm meant to go as well. I surrender. I don't want to fight to be here anymore. If I'm meant to be here, I will. And the next night I had a stroke. I died, came back. Well, they brought me back. I didn't do anything about that. I don't remember anything of it. And I do remember being in the coma, but I don't remember anything of the actual procedures that occurred in order to bring me back. But yes, it was a surrender of my ego, if you like, a surrender of the fight inside me between the inner critic and the inner coach. And the inner coach won out, the soul part of me won out, that said, you know what, I want to be here for the purpose that I believed I was always here to do, and this time I'm ready to do it. I'm not going to fight for it anymore. I'm just going to be it.
Wow, what a great story. Boy, it got chills down my spine here. Listen, we're almost out of time, but I know that you want to tell people how to get your phenomenal program.
Well, actually, I'd like to give them a gift than my program. This is part of my program, but I would love if people could just begin to learn the strategies from scratch and just see how they go with it. So we're offering, if you go to healthierpath.com, we are offering a Healthier Path package, which is a book called Change Your Brain, Change Your Brain, Change Your Body. And it comes with some brain training audios. It comes with a therapy session, a brain workout training program online as well. And it's valued at $297. So I would be honored if people just wanted to check out a little bit about what I do and start the process for themselves. And happy if they want to contact me via email to ask if they've got any questions about how to use it or what to do with it or the challenges they're having. I'm happy for them to email me as well. So healthierpath.com, they're more than welcome to sign up for the program.
Let me say that over because you've got a bit of an accent and I want to make sure that they get it the U.S. style, healthierpath.com. Okay,
that's it.
Good.
Yeah.
I want to make sure nobody misses out on this.
So how do you say it in American speak? What do I say?
Healthier path.
There we go. Healthierpath.com. Perfect.
Okay, I know people are now just going there immediately. Thank you so much, Maggie Wild. I am so thrilled that you came back. I hope that you'll come back again. Your message is one that will just help so many people. And truly, truly, you are a huge blessing to us all. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jules.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to jules@loaradionetwork.com and have a great week.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.